humming along with it. I can't sing, so. What's that? Oh, good. Gee. Anyway, it brought back a lot of memories when singing that song. The first time I heard it when I was in seminary in my first year, and there were probably about 500 men in the auditorium. And Dallas Seminary was an all-men school at the time. There was no females there. And to hear 500 men or whatever it was sing that song, the rafters really shook in that building. And you just, you know, it just brought this singing. It just brings back so many memories from my life of that period of time. There were good years or hard years, but they were good times, good years that I began to learn some truths about God. I was a babe in Christ when I went there, not much older when I graduated, but learned some things, and over the years was able to put them into practice and grew a little bit where I'm at today. So those are fond memories in my life. Let's begin. We're in Philippians. We looked at, I just quick outline for you. I'm not going to go over it all, but we're in the last point against the lawlessness. Paul is warning the believers at Philippi about some people that have entered into the church, or people that were in the church who have taken upon themselves certain characteristics. The first group are Judaizers, or those who believed in the law, keeping the law of Moses, and Paul defends his position in regard to those Judaizers, that the things that they're propagating certainly are of no value whatsoever. As a matter of fact, as he looked at his life, he counted them all as dung. It's just worthless. And so he set all those things aside, and now he's encouraging them, going on to encourage them. But there is also the tendency in the church to swing over to the other side. And there are people that come into the church. And by the way, this is the reason I don't like a lot of visitors that or people that join the church. Not that I'm against that altogether, but the more people you get in, the more dangers that we're faced with. A big church has a lot of dangers, and the dangers in a big church is that there are Judaizers and those who have set up laws and judge people by what they're doing, whether they're doing it the way they think they ought to do. Or on the other hand, there are those who come into the church who are lawless. They just have no principles whatsoever. In a small church, we can sort of look at that, and you're sort of protected, and you have some accountability here. We know you, and so we can sort of give you some accountability in this church. But nonetheless, there were three groups in the church at Philippi. There were the legalists. There were the or Judaizers, and then there were the ones who were lawless, and Paul's going to be writing a little bit about them right now. But there were also those who were growing, those who were perfect, as Paul writes it. And you remember the word perfect there means a full age. And it simply what he's saying is there are some of you in the church that have grown up. So he's addressing three basic groups of people. And in every church, there is that possibility that there are Judaizers and there are lawless people, and then there are the ones who are spiritual. And Paul is writing to them, and he's encouraging them, but he's also asking them in this verse that we're looking at. We're in verse 17 to become followers of him. This means that. Well, let me just drop by. This means that what he has done in his life, he's in a race. Remember, we talked about the race. He has his eyes fixed on the goal, and he looked at all his past, and he saw that it was worthless. It didn't help him at all. He looks at his future, his eyes focused on the goal that he has before him. Now he's asking the Philippians to be followers of him, that they should also look at their past, and if they're following laws and trying to be better themselves by keeping rules and regulations, he says that's a worthless effort. You can stop at that. And you ought to have your eyes fixed on the goal, and we're all running in this race. We ought to run to win. And so let's focus. Let's get our eyes in the right place. And will you become followers with me, Paul says. Will you become followers with me? This verse, the first word in this verse is the words followers together. It's actually one word in the Greek. The word is sumi metes, and it's actually it's only found here in the New Testament. It comes from two words. The first word is sum. I pronounce it down here. It's, it means with or together. And the word mimetes, which is transliterated into our language. If you transliterated the letters, you'd get the word mimic. You all know what a mimic is. It's an imitator or a follower. I don't know, you probably have done this with your children. You know, they've done something and they say, well, everyone's doing it, you know, or so-and-so's doing it. And you say, well, if they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge with them? You ever use that? I did that with my kids, you know, something like that. Anyhow, are you going to mimic him and everything? Well, we could be mimics of the Apostle Paul, because he had the right view of life. He was looking at things through his eyes in light of what God has done for him and what God is doing for him and what God has in the future. This word, mimic, means, as I said, with a preposition, it means to imitate or to mimic together. And Paul is encouraging them to mimic him together, all of them together. You ought to be mimicking me, Paul is saying. Now, you have to understand this in light of what Paul's saying. He's not saying, I want to lord it over you. I want you to, I'm the boss, you do what I say. He's encouraging him to do that, but that's not his idea. He isn't trying to set himself up as the head of the church at Philippi. He doesn't need to do that. The Lord's taking care of that. He doesn't have to lord it over them and make them do things that he's doing. He said, I'd like you to be followers of me. Will you become followers of me? By the way, that's sort of a command in the Greek. We'll look at that in just a few moments. In order to get the full impact of this, what Paul is saying, the word mimetes is used seven times, and I want to go through those seven times with you. If you'll turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1. And you'll get the idea that Paul is not just talking about himself, but he is instilling in them that he is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a follower of God. And you have this in Ephesians 5, 1. He says, become therefore followers, mimetes is the word that's used there, of God as dear children. In other words, what he's saying is that you want to become a chip off the old block. It sort of scares me. I'm a chip off the old block. I look at my driver's license and I see my dad. Some of you knew my dad. I look a lot like my dad. My wife says I act like my dad, and that's really scary. And I look at myself sometimes and I say, that's what my dad would do. And in many ways, I mimic my father. I hope it stops there and my sons don't pick up all the bad things that I've done. But Paul is saying, hey, listen, as children of God, follow God, mimic him. So you understand that in the context of him asking the Philippians to be followers of him, he's saying, listen, well, let's turn to another passage. Let's look at the next one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You'll see a little bit different take here. Paul writes these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became followers, mimetes again is used, of us and of the Lord. So he's not just talking about us as Paul and Silas, but he's talking about of the Lord also. So he's including himself as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he very clearly seen in this epistle, having received the word in much affliction. Now, in the context of Thessalonians, he's talking about the affliction that they were going through. And he's saying, listen, our Lord went through afflictions. Our Lord went through the trials, and now you're going through them, so you're mimicking him. You understand, Paul says that I also went through these afflictions, and you're mimicking me. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning that oftentimes we get focused on one thing in life. If we have a trial, we focus on that particular trial or that particular problem that we're having in our life, and we don't look beyond that. We focus in on that one thing. And in this case, in Thessalonica, there were afflictions that were coming, and you could focus in on that. But to understand that you're not the first, and this is the way it's supposed to be, this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life, he went through afflictions. You understand that when I was saved, I went through afflictions. We all go through that. We all go through it. And I want you to handle it the same way the Lord handled it, and I want you to handle it the same way I would handle it. So will you mimic me in your affliction? That's what he's telling the Thessalonians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Now you see a little bit better the context in which Paul is writing this and how what he thinks in his mind when he says to the Philippians, be ye followers together of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, become followers, mimetes, again is used, of me, even as I also of Christ. So now you see the context of this in Paul's life. I want you to be followers of me, but I want you to understand that not only am I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a pattern of what Jesus Christ is doing. I walk like he walked, so you follow me, but as I followed Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, if you want to turn over there very quickly. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brethren, became followers, mimetes, again that's used, the same word, of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. And you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Again, he's talking about the problems that they're having. He said, we're following the Lord Jesus. We're following the churches in Judea. We're mimicking them. The same thing that happened to them is happening to us. So you follow them in this whole thing. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, you might want to turn there. Paul says that you be not slothful, but followers, be followers, actually, mimetes, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Mimetes. Are you getting the idea? Imitators. You always have someone to follow. Always have someone to follow. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3:13, Peter pens these words, and who is he that will harm you if you become followers, mimetes, of that which is good? Now he's taking something else. The word if here is a third class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you do, you know, who's going to harm you if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you follow him and that which is good? Now remember, Paul's not perfect. We're not talking about being perfect. We're not looking for perfection. There's no such thing as absolute perfection in this life. There's spiritual maturity, and when we're talking in Philippians, when he talks about the word perfect there, he's talking about spiritually. And spiritual perfection or spiritual maturity is a relative term. If you're growing and for the time that you've been in the Lord, you're using the word, what you've learned, you've been putting into use, then you are mature for your age in the Lord. You might be saved for a year, and you've learned some truths, and you're applying those truths to your life, and you're using those truths in your life. You are spiritually mature for what you know. Now, you may be in the Lord for 10 years, and you've learned a lot, but you're not using it. And you would be, you haven't grown at all. You're still a babe in Christ. If you're 10 years old in the Lord and you learned a lot and you're using a lot, then you're spiritually mature for where you're at in life, for what you know. Spiritual maturity has to do with your use of God's word in your life. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 6. Who by reason of use have their senses, chapter 5, who by reason of use have their senses exercised and discern both good and evil. So we use the Word of God in our lives. The more we use the Word of God in our lives, the more we're going to grow. We're talking about spiritually now. We're going to grow spiritually. Spiritual maturity, a relative term. Paul is not where he wants to be. He hasn't apprehended that for which God has apprehended him. But he's still a follower of Jesus Christ. He's still using what he's learned in his life, and he knows that there's a lot more to learn. A lot more to learn. In the context of Philippians, to be an imitator of Paul, then they would have to count all things but loss. They would have to run the race just as Paul has run the race, imitating him. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you want to turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, become followers, mimetes of me. See, Paul wants them to be like he is. He's not perfect. He hasn't apprehended. He hasn't arrived yet. He knows that. He's already explained that to the Philippians. But he wants them still to follow him. Keep on running the race. Keep on pursuing that which God has apprehended you for. Be followers of me. Look towards that goal down the road. By the way, the word be or become in all of those verses is the same word. It's the word ginomai. It means to become something, to come to or to arrive at, to acquire or to experience a state of being. Paul says, I want you to become like I am. Now, there are two imperatives in this verse. The first imperative, move on. The first imperative is to become. It's a present imperative. It's either a middle or passive imperative. I've taught you this before, so just pay a little bit of attention to me. The present tense shows continuous action. Not only in one state, but this is a continuous thing. I want you to keep on keeping on following me, all right? That's the present tense. If it's a middle voice, it shows reflexive action. You do it yourself. You yourself become followers of me. If it's a passive voice, and it is here, it's a passive voice.
I'm just jumping. Did I jump to? Yeah, I jumped on.
The word be in verse 17 is the word become. It's a present, middle, or passive imperative. The passive voice, with God as the implied agent in that, the theologians call that a divine passive. In other words, God is the one who does the action for you. All right? And there's a principle that comes out of that, and the principle is this, that any command that requires spiritual action, now do you get that? Any command that requires spiritual action on the part of the believer can only be accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. You follow that? Let me repeat it again. Any command that is of a spiritual nature requires or demands that the Spirit accomplish that task. You can't do it on your own. You with me? You with me?
Yeah.
Wake up. Any task that God has given you, when God asks you to do something, when He commands you to do something, if it's of a spiritual nature, if something spiritual is involved, you cannot accomplish it yourself. Walk in the Spirit. Can you accomplish that on your own? Can't. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. Be ye holy. Can you do that on yourself? You can't do that. That's a command that requires the Holy Spirit to do it for you. You cannot do it for yourself. Walk in the Spirit. You can't do it of yourself. You can't become a follower of Paul because it's of a spiritual nature that he's talking about. It requires that God participate in the action and do it for you. So any command that requires spiritual action on the part of the believer can only be accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a divine passive, they call it. It's a passive voice. But it indicates that only God can accomplish that. In this case, it's not a middle voice because it requires divine action. Become followers of me as I am of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's divine action implied in that, and therefore God is the agent who does the action for you. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. Any command that requires a spiritual task must be accomplished by the Holy Spirit in yourself. You see, Paul's not a super saint. He lives an ordinary life. There's no such thing as a super saint. We're all ordinary Christians. That's what we are. In this verse, Paul commands ordinary Christians or ordinary believers to follow in his tracks. His tracks are spiritual tracks. Therefore, it requires the work of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. Paul is living proof of what God can do for an ordinary Christian. See, you're an ordinary Christian, just like I'm an ordinary Christian. What God can do for us is far more than we could even imagine. Paul presents himself as an example of spiritual growth. See, his life changed drastically. I can identify with that. My life changed drastically. It took a longer time, I think, than it did Paul. Paul's was like that. Mine took several years to change. But Paul began as a Pharisee. I mean, he was a legalist through and through. He was born of a Jewish family. He lived all the principles of law that could possibly be forced upon him, and he kept the law perfectly. When the church was born in Acts chapter 2, Paul became a persecutor of the church. Not only did he persecute, but he was a murderer. He led some of them to their death. He wasn't just an ordinary unsaved person. But when he became a believer, he became an ordinary believer, just like everyone else. And what God accomplished in him was phenomenal. But it wasn't because of Paul, but it was because of the Lord working in his life through the Holy Spirit. Do you follow that? Any command that God gives you, the command that God gave Paul on the road to Damascus was a command that he could not keep himself, but only he could do it. And Paul recognizes that later when he writes, "I am what I am by the grace of God." It's not me, it's God's grace that has accomplished this in my life. God required this of me, but he also gave me the power to do it. He, by the Holy Spirit, accomplished what he wanted to accomplish in my life. And that's true with your life. What God demands of you, he will give you the power through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he demands of you. He requests or commands you to be followers of the Apostle Paul. You can't do that on your own. You can't look at your stuff that you have and call it dung. You can't look at your stuff and call it worthless. I mean, I have things that are valuable to me. I like to hold on to them, you know what I mean? The only way that I'm going to see those things as dung or as worthless is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life to reveal that truth to me. And what Paul is asking the Philippians is that very thing. You look at your life. Look at your past. Look at what you have. And look at what God has before you. You can't accomplish that on your own. I want you to be mimics of me. I want you to follow me. I want you, all of you together, follow me. But you can't do it on your own. And the present tense, the passive voice, indicates that very thing to us. Keep on keeping on doing this, but it's the Holy Spirit who is going to accomplish it in your life. God never asks you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to do it. The second command that Paul gives us is the mark. And he says, mark them who walk. Let me open it up here. I don't even have my Bible open yet. But mark the be you followers together with me, and mark them who walk, even as you have us for an example. This time it's a present active imperative. See, they could do the marking. They could look around and they could mark out those who were doing or living a life like Paul was living his life. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to pick out a Judaizer? If I were to look around, if I went to a church where we had, I don't know if any of you are Judaizers, maybe there are, but if I looked around in that church, and I would say, who are the Judaizers in this church? Would I be able to identify them? Pretty hard to identify. You know why? Because they do the right things, but they do it with the wrong motivation. They go to church, they go to prayer meeting, they sing loud when we have songs that are sung. They pray. They give money to the church. It's hard, but they do it in order to win points with God. They think God is going to be pleased with their efforts. Let me ask you another question. Is it hard to pick out a lawless person? Not so hard to pick out a lawless. I mean, just watch him a little bit. You can see, you know, he's going doing things that Christians shouldn't do. They walk just like men walk. They gamble, you know, they chew tobacco or whatever they do. Or, you know, it's a lot easier to pick out a lawless person than it is a Judaizer. Normally. I was thinking about this morning as I was reading over my notes. I'm free in grace, right? I'm free in Jesus Christ. And I don't have a bunch of laws that manipulate me to do what it wants to do. And I'm free in Christ to accomplish the things that He wants me to accomplish. But I'm free to enjoy my Christian life. And I can do things that a Judaizer wouldn't even dare to do. And sometimes it's hard. Have you ever been accused of being lawless? Because you believe in grace, I have been. I mean, he believes you don't have to go to church regularly. He believes you don't have to have your early morning devotions. He believes that you don't have to give money to the church. And I do believe all those things. If you're doing it with the wrong motivation. I don't judge you, and I will not judge you on the basis of those principles. Because if you're living by grace, you may do some things that others won't do. You may not observe Sunday as a sacred day, as a holy day. You may eat things that I don't eat. You may drink things that I don't drink, or I may drink things that you don't drink. And sometimes it's hard as a person who understands his liberty in Jesus Christ to be able to recognize him versus someone that may be lawless. Now, I'm saying that with my tongue in cheek. I want you to understand that. But I don't know if you've ever been accused of that. I have. That I'm lawless. I don't observe Sunday as a special day. Matter of fact, if I were going to observe any day as special, it would have to be the Sabbath. But I'm not a Jew, so I don't observe the Sabbath either. You see, every day is alike to me. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish between a Judaizer or one who believes in grace. It's a lot easier to, identify someone who's lawless. Who isn't under a lot of pressure to do things. He does what he wants to do. Now, Paul says to the Philippians that what they need to do is they need to mark out those who are walking in the way that he would walk. All right? Identify them. The word that's used here, skopeo, by the way, we saw it earlier, and if you transliterated the noun form of that word, and you could translate this word, you get your word scope, S-C, K becomes a C, S-C-O-P-E, you get the word scope. What do you do with a scope? Well, you look through it, and it magnifies, and you can identify things a lot clearer when you're looking at something through a scope. But Paul's saying to the Philippians, you scope out those people who are walking the way they ought to walk. All right? Scope them out. The King James reads, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Here is a better translation. Let me give you my translation. Mark them who are walking as you have an example in us. Let me repeat that to you. Mark them who are walking as you have an example in us. So Paul says, you look around, and if they're following me and they're doing the things that I would do, you want to mark those people out. You want to scope. Look at them very carefully. When I was in school, it brings back memories, but when I was in school, the professor would say to us, I want you to note this passage, or I want you to note this paragraph in this book. And I would put the little NB up there. I don't know what it means, but I would put the NB. It means note carefully. I think it's Latin or something like that. Is that right, Barry? You would know. Is that right? Okay. Barry's the smart one. I'm the dumb one in this one. Anyway, it means to note carefully this particular paragraph. And that's what he's saying to these. You look around and you put an NB right beside them. You watch them carefully. You note how they walk. See, they're walking like I walk, and we want to walk together. All of us want to walk together just as I am, walking together with the Lord. Note them out. Watch them. Vincent translated it this way, mark them who imitate me and those who follow my example. Mark them out. Observe them carefully. Watch them. How do they do things? How are they walking? They're walking as Christ would walk, as Paul would walk, as they're mimicking him. Note them. It's good to have someone to follow. It's good to have someone that's more mature than you are to be able to identify with and see how they handle things in their lives. How do they handle trials? How do they handle problems in their life? How do they handle conflict? How do they handle their job? How do they handle things at home? How does he treat his wife? And how does her wife treat her husband? And if you see that they're walking the way that they should walk, according to the Scriptures, according to the Lord, you mark them out and watch them. They're ordinary Christians, that's all they are. But you see they're following principles, they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul says they're following me, because we both follow the truth of God's Word. Scope them out. Those who walk. The word walk, peripateo, we've seen this before. It's used in verse 16. It was a different word. Remember, we looked at that word, skoikeo. In verse 16, look at verse 16 quickly. He says, "Now, as nevertheless as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Or walk by it. He's talking about, in that verse, it was talking about the word walk there has the idea of walking in line. It was used of soldiers going to battle. They're all lined up together and they're marching out. They're marching out. They're marching in rank. This word means to walk around. I don't know how you would use it. Take a stroll. You walk around town, or you take a walk down the street. You would say, you don't do it in rank. You don't get a bunch of people marched with you when you take a stroll, but you walk, and wherever it takes you, you walk around somewhere. You go to a park, you walk around. You don't all walk in rank. And Paul is saying, watch them. Walk. Notice again. Be ye followers of me, and mark them who walk. This ordinary, everyday walking. This is the way they conduct their life. Watch them. They're just strolling through life, and if they're walking as I walk, then you mark them out. They're an example to us. It's a present tense, or present participle. It shows an habitual walk. The word example is the word tupos. Now, if you change the U to a Y, you'd get your word type, T-Y-P-E, tupo, tupos. It means a mark caused by a stroke or a hammer, a blow, an imprint, an impression. It's translated figure or fashion or manner or form in the New Testament. It's a very interesting word because it conveys to us that there are two types of Christians. I got 1 minute. Let me give you. There are two types of Christians. There are those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the imprint in their lives. The same thing is true with the Apostle Paul. If you're following the Apostle Paul, you have his mark in your life. There are others who walk that have a different mark. They have the mark of the world in their lives. They have the mark of the flesh in their lives. Let me give you an illustration. Will you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? We'll finish up with this. Just give me a couple minutes, we'll be finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Remember, we're talking about spiritual Christians in chapter 2. Paul's walking in light. He's spiritually mature and for his age and for his the knowledge that he has. He's using the truth. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, that is fleshly, even as babes in Christ. You haven't learned much. You can't use what you've heard or learned. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal or fleshly. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Do you remember one of the problems at the Corinthian church? Remember what I told you? There was some strife, there were some divisions within the church caused by two women in chapter 4, verse 1. Don't follow those women. But let's look around and watch those who are mimicking or following me. Mark them out. Watch them. Observe them very carefully. They become an example, a type for you to watch in life. Those who are causing problems, they walk by a different drumbeat altogether. They're not with you. They're in another world. Turn over to Romans 16, 17, and we'll finish here. Just real quick, one verse. Paul gives similar instructions to the Romans that he's giving to the Philippians. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul writes these words, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark, that's the same word that you have back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. You watch them carefully. You look at them. You observe them. Mark them out. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Now, that's the same thing that he's saying in Philippians, except in this case, he's saying you look for the good ones, you look for the ones who are walking as I walk, mark them out and follow them. They are an example to you. There have been some great examples in my life. Some of you have been examples in my life. I've watched you. I've seen how you handle circumstances. And I could follow you when those things, same things happen to me. Just as the churches were having afflictions, Paul says you became mimics of them. You handled it the same way they did. When people were suffering, you handled it the same way those people were suffering. You became mimics of them. When you look at me, Paul says, I want you to mimic me. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mimic him. You mimic me. I'm the one that you want to mark out to watch. Pick out someone that you know. Just watch them. See how they handle things in their life. They're handling it better, poorly, and they're not doing the right thing. Mark them out. Avoid them. If, however, they're handling it the right way, mark them out and follow them. They're an example to you. They're someone that you can follow. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish. Easy to follow a lawless person, a lot harder to follow someone who is a Judaizer, but it's really hard to follow one who is grace-oriented. But when you see one, you follow that one. He's the one that you want to mark out. He's the one that you ought to mimic in your life. As he handles circumstances in his life, as he handles people in his life, as things occur, as the trials and the tribulations come, and how he handles those things, that he's able to function in his life in a proper way and deal with them. And see, you know, he sees the whole plan. You got to look at things not just from your eyes, but you got to look at them through the eyes of the Lord. And this is a person who looks at things a little bit differently than most of us do. We concentrate on the problem. He's concentrating on the program that God has for his life. You want to watch those kind of people. Those are the ones that you want to mark out. Those are the ones that you want to follow in life. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us such great examples as the Apostle Paul that we can mimic. Father, we thank you for those that you've brought into our lives that are believers who are spiritually mature. They're ones who walk in the Spirit. There's ones who believe in the grace of God, and God is working in their lives to accomplish his purposes. Father, we want to follow them. We want to mark them out. We want to look at them very carefully. Just watch them. See how they handle things. Father, give us insights. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us the ability to distinguish between those who walk according to the flesh and those who walk according to the Spirit. Now we just ask as we come to the end of this hour that you would use the things that have been communicated. Throw out the stuff that's not important to us. But Father, take the things that have been said, the words, the scriptures that we've read, apply them to each of our hearts that we might grow and continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name that we pray. Amen.